Hi, welcome to Best of Five. We're your weekly FGC talk show. We're going to blow your mind, explode, I guess. To start off, I literally just saw this and it went out on Twitter as we went live, which is it's a little unfortunate. So we unfortunately lost somebody in the FGC. And it's Briley Legs. Briley Legs unfortunately passed away.
No way.
Yeah, the tweet just went out. So I have the... I'm literally pulling it up as we speak. Here it is. So this is the statement. On behalf of the family of Michael Philip Begum, Briley Legs, we want to inform friends and fans around the world that Mike has passed on. The sudden loss is devastating to us all. The family needs time to gain more information on his passing and time to grieve through this unbearable pain and loss. He survives through his loving mother, Josefina, and siblings Jonathan and Karen Begum. In the meantime, please share memories and stories of his greatness. He was one of a kind and always will be the heart of our family. He won't be forgotten, and to all those he inspired, he lives on through you. He loved what he did and made his mark on the world through the best way he knew how, living life to its fullest every day and taking it on his own terms. His love of competition is unmatched, and the joy he brought to us all can never be replaced. He was a fighter in so many more ways than one. He was extraordinary, irreplaceable, the most dedicated man you could ever meet, and we were lucky to be a part of his life. A legend today, tomorrow, and forever. We love you, Briley, and may you rest in peace in heaven. So that literally just went out as I hit the live button. So very, very unfortunate. You know, I did a little bit of commentary with Briley Legs, and we've had him on the show before. Like, I've talked to him a little bit. So it's, man, that's hard. That's hard, man.
That's crazy. He just replied to one of my tweets a few days ago.
Yeah.
He's talking about talking shit. I like to remember all the fond memories in a moment like this. Some of those fond memories I can't quite mention on this stream. Yeah. But yeah, I have nothing but good experiences with him.
He's yeah.
A good person.
Now, I'll never forget, before I knew who he was and like his disability and everything, I remember seeing him fight Mike Ross at like an Excellent Adventures episode. And somebody on the show, I forget who it was, just said, like, he did an FADC combo, and somebody on the show said he just did an FADC combo with his face. And then, like, they interviewed him, and he showed how he, like, played with a lot of option selects. For those of you that don't know, he had, I'm not going to remember the name of the condition he had, but he essentially had very limited use of his limbs. So he played with option selects, which is crazy. Like, so, for example, he would have... In Street Fighter 4, he had one of the triggers on an Xbox controller marked to grab, and he used that as crouching leg kick. it was crazy, man. Arthrogryposis. Thank you, Q-Ball, in the chat. So, man, like, seeing that guy do work was super, super duper inspirational. So,
yeah, what a beast.
Yeah, so happy to have gotten to work with him. Happy to. We've even played a lot, and, like, we've talked shit to each other, and we've, like, commiserated on how Street Fighter 5 was so weird. So man, yeah, that one caught me off guard. Shit. So rest in peace to Briley, man. He definitely made a huge mark. You know, he was sponsored by Able Gamers at some point, so he was definitely like a beacon for the human spirit of like overcoming.
Yeah, difficulties. It's easy to see somebody who's disabled and want to feel like they are in need. You got to help them, but when they show you that they are all like they can do things you might not expect, it really gives you a whole different perspective on humanity. So I'm glad to have known him.
Yeah, for sure. So from all of us at Best of Five to everybody who's feeling the hurt from this news just now, we're with you. Rest in peace to Briley Legs, Mike Begum. We'll miss seeing him around, man. That sucks. So how do we transition from that piece of breaking news to the rest of the show? Damn.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got nothing.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll just start over. We'll just start over.
Yeah, good games.
Nah, I'm just
good
kidding.
Good games, Briley.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, we're going to miss him. Yeah, especially he was a big, like, he was here from Texas, too, so saw him at a lot of regionals. Like, man.
That's crazy, man. Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball.
Yep, last week.
Creator of Broly. creator of Broly also just passed away, and Broly Legs is out.
Damn.
That's wild.
Damn. Shit. Well, look, I don't know how to get through the rest of the show, so we're just gonna go, okay?
Like, just gotta shove that emotion down.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like, look.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's not healthy. I do that shit too. Actually, you know what? So I've shared that I struggle a lot with mental health, on this show, and wouldn't you know it, I actually took a full evaluation and I got diagnosed last Thursday, I think. I got diagnosed with generalized high anxiety, persistent depression disorder, and adult onset ADHD.
Wow.
I'm fucked up. Who would have thought? I mean, that's honestly, like, everything makes sense now. Yep. So yeah, take care of yourselves. You know, mental health is difficult. So is regular health. Like, everything's fucking difficult, man. The world sucks. And then you die.
It sure is.
Yeah. Okay. Best 5 fighting game talk show. Let's just get on with it. This past weekend, we had the... was it the SNK World Championship Finals for King of Fighters? I unfortunately didn't catch any of it, but we have results, and not in the recap form because I forgot. What can I tell you? Here is the end bracket. So let me go ahead and zoom in a little bit so we can see what we're looking at here. So here's the end bracket. Lagia and M Dash on the Grande Finals, and Lagia taking it 3-0 in the opening set, and then 3-2 in the last set.
Look at the 3-0, 3-0, 0-2, 0. Dude, man. Yeah. This is happening a lot in multiple fighting games.
Yep. What's crazy is, you know, my automatic pick would have been like Xiao Hai or something, somebody like Güero from Mexico. But unfortunately, Güero didn't qualify for the Arc World Tour Finals despite having a ridiculous year. So a lot of people were discussing the format and everything, much like everything, like every other time. And look, nothing's going to be perfect, man. And it sucks that Güero wasn't there to participate, but get good.
I hate to stink it up with my boomer opinions, but whenever I see that many blowouts, 0-2, 0-3, when I see it, I think, was the player 2 side lagging? I can't help but go there. I think it all the time.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. Unfortunately, I didn't watch it, unfortunately. It just kind of flew under the radar, under Red Bull Kumite, under literally everything else going on. So, very unfortunate, but we got some cool news out of it. Also, here are the final standings. Lagia taking 50,000 smackaroos. M-Dash taking 20,000 smackaroos. Xiao Hai taking 15, and Score taking 10. Oh, look at all those people sponsored by stick manufacturers. And then Score. So that's pretty cool to see. Stick manufacturers getting, like shelling out to get people out there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I'm glad SNK's making some moves, man. Especially got what our next subject is, Guru.
Yes.
The new Guru, Book of the Wolves.
Yeah, so we knew it was coming. We got teased and teased and teased. And finally, they have the announcement trailer that they released this weekend. And it's like, it goes like this. Oops. Scary. Feels like the beginning of PT or something.
Rock Bogart says, and I lost my goddamn mind. With a name like Rock Bogart, you can only assume the footage would be like, this is like another one of those moments where it's like, this might make or break. If this trailer sucks, SNK might be done. But they delivered.
Dude, I love the stylistic choice. Right.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it genuinely looks like a comic book.
Yep.
I love it. It looks so good.
And there's a slap bass at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's the Rev Guard, the Rev Blow, Rev Arts, Rev XL. So it's essentially just drive meter. Another game with a drive meter. Rev it up.
Smash. So that reminds me of when you turn blue, maybe you got plus frames. Does hip damage and it puts you at the wall. I'm sorry, man. My boomer brain is just. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, it looks sick. It looks amazing.
Yeah, 1,000%. The look of it is so good. And that was the announcement trailer. They also gave us a whole another trailer. Let's take a look. Squeak.
Gonna take you for a ride. Try to keep up, all right?
Also, the music's pretty good. I like
hey,
it.
Come on.
Yeah.
Is the path I've chosen.
The word that comes to mind when I look at this is pride. They have pride. They want this to be a product that they're really proud of.
Yeah. No, and it looks so good. Dude, Tizoc looks so cool. And then this lady. I think she's a new character.
Pretty sure, yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, man, looks good.
Dude, look at all those particle effects. This looks really fucking cool.
Yeah.
Andy taking his turn. Or not Andy, what's his name? Harry? It's a 50-50 and I always lose.
And this is probably still early footage. Probably yeah. Will improve graphically from here.
Yeah, so they did say that early 2025 is the release window for it. So it's still a ways away, and it looks really good as it is, in my opinion.
That creature is one of Joe's students, according to Squiddy Poli. I've heard that also, and it seems to make sense. You got a similar moveset.
Tizoc, man. I'm not a grappler lover or liker, but... I'll try Tizoc out. And there's
feels like I'm required to, because Tizoc is like the Hugo in some ways.
Hmm.
And in general, when there is ever interest in the Rue Mark of the Wolves in my community, they would always talk about how it's like the third strike of SNK games.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's ahead of its time, bro. This is for you, Terry. Way ahead of its time.
I feel like this is the first time I've seen a KOF game that's like that stylistically sticks out.
I would disagree with that. KOF 13. That game
yeah,
was
that's
the
right.
Looking fighting games.
So I said this right before we went live, but King of Fighters is like I think I just live in another dimension where I like completely missed the boat on it. I try to play it every once in a while, and I just can't wrap my brain around it. It just doesn't work with my brain. Which is unfortunate because the game looks so cool and it looks real fun. So the crazy thing is that they showed a bunch of crazy mechanics that, from my understanding, are brand new. The rev gauge, if you will. It's exactly like Street Fighter VI drive meter, where you get this gauge and you can do all of this crazy shit until it fills up, and then you overheat and then bad stuff happens, I guess. So, to help us out, why don't we go to one of the best? Justin Wong got a chance to play this game. And if you guys don't follow Justin Wong or don't know, he's up on YouTube. Just Justin Wong on YouTube. He does a lot of really cool videos. As I went searching for this, I wound up watching like a bunch of his other videos. He's like, it's good. It's good. I need to watch more Justin Wong.
He's
but
it.
He breaks it down pretty well. So, here, without further ado, let's have Justin Wong explain how things work.
Couldn't record there of like direct capture, so this is what they gave us. It's still probably a lot of information. We'll probably get more information just watching this video, but the first thing I want to talk about is, like, as we let the game play, is that you see how there's an SPG bar. So that is obviously your top bar from before. It gives you that kind of like special move that every character has, but they also changed it where it's not like a kind of like that CD special move. It's kind of, they call it the Rev Blow, which is kind of a combo ender and also a focus attack. Kind of like a focus attack from Street Fighter 4, has a point of armor. So you can kind of use it for offensive-wise and defensive-wise, which is really cool. Obviously, you saw Just Defend earlier, but they also added, you know, Just Defend still like back, down, back. And the window of it is actually still pretty darn good. They also added something new. I don't know if we'll get to see it. It's called Hyper Defense, where during block, you actually can parry. It's like a red parry, pretty much. You get two frames, that's what the developer said. Two frames to red parry. And from there, that's actually pretty darn awesome. So, like, since you see that there's a guard bar and everything like that, you know, you obviously want to defend yourself, right? So you can tap forward or down forward to pretty much red parry, but they call it hyper defense. Guard cancel is in here, so if you do just defend and hyper defense,
wow,
you can do guard cancel, into the special move and everything like that. And you see all these combos that you're seeing right now? Look at that combo, bro. So that combo right there, for example, I just have to tell you about it. That combo is called Rev Excel. So pretty much you're canceling EXs into EXs into EXs into EXs. So like
Fighters
15 with like max meter and everything. So you just start out with max meter out from the gate. Right? You start out from the gate and you see that meter that's just overheat on the bottom. So every time you use something kind of like a rev move, so rev blow, rev meter, like EX meter, you know, EX moves are like rev arcs. So use rev arcs. Red blow, there's also a guard, like a push block, where you hold a guard button, and it literally is like a Marvel vs. Capcom push block. You will be caused for overheat. So that was just level 2. Obviously, there's like level 2. When you see the stars, that means you can do a super there. So there's obviously level 1, level 2, 2 supers, kind of like Garo. The best part is, if you guys remember, every character has in this game at least, has a hidden super. Hidden super. So obviously in Garo, original Garo, only a select few, like Bijonette, Kushino Butt, you know, a few others, I forgot. Who else, right? Probably I think Rock also has one. Every character has a hidden super in this game. And how do you do the hidden super is actually quite interesting. On the character...
I want to keep watching this, but I feel like we're just watching Justin's video at this point.
I'm locked in.
Yeah, me too. I have to stop it there or else, you know, like, at this point, like, it's not transformative content. We're just watching Justin talk about Garo.
He said we can watch it on Twitter. It's all good. But, I mean, there's so much there. So much to unpack. I didn't think... I haven't seen it yet either. I've only seen the trailers where they're just doing combos. No, nothing about the mechanics. But there's so many mechanics. That sounds really interesting. I always worry that if fighting game comes out, it's going to be too offensive and the mechanics kind of get pushed aside. Like, we got these cool things, but this is what's important. But over time, they kind of dial it back. But that's so many things to think about. Red parry, just defend, guard cancel, push chip block. Damage, guard break. I saw some of the meter. Like I'm assuming like CPS2, Alpha 3, if they block too many times, they get blown out. Mm-hmm. And you can just combo them for blocking.
Yeah.
But let's see how that goes, man.
I think the rev meter, right, which is the new hotness, the new next-gen fighting game, like general fighting game mechanic, where you just have a meter that you can spend right at the beginning and you can do all this crazy shit, and then if you overuse it, you're bad news bears. Rev meter, I think, if I'm remembering this correctly, when you overheat, which is when you use it too much, your guard meter starts descending so that the rev meter gets back up. I didn't even notice like the two stars, which are like the two supers you can do when you build that meter. I wonder if that has something to do with it too. I don't know. I thought they got to play it, but the footage that they were given was, or the footage that they could take was footage that was given to them. So I'm super curious to see more about this game, man. I did not think this game would look as good as it do.
Yeah. Right? I didn't think either one. Like, I didn't think it would look that good, and I didn't think it would be that interesting mechanically. Because I love resource meter management and all that stuff. That's what drew me to Street Fighter Cross Tekken so much back in the day. Because there's so many different ways to approach it at different angles, and on top of that, you just got normal fighting game stuff. I think that's great when everything isn't just overshadowed by, you know, offense. So we'll see how it goes. So far, so good.
Yeah, I'm curious to see more, man. It sucks that it's so far away. I both love that we're getting this information, but it's like next year. I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I can't even think about like 2025 at this point. It just seems like it's like forever away. So, but super exciting nonetheless. I hope we get to see more of it throughout the year, right? Throughout the tournament circuit. I hope they get some We get some information throughout some of the tournaments, some reveals, etc., etc. Something that I thought was very bizarre about the way SNK handled this year's tour is I think it flew completely under the radar, right? Am I the only one that thinks that? It sounds like they didn't, like, you would always see, like, the day before a tournament where it's like, oh, this is an SNK-sponsored tournament. They're throwing some money in the pot. Cool. But nothing, like, ahead of time, right? And then all of a sudden they have a world tour that I didn't know about and it had a finals.
Pretty much. Yeah, I don't know any of the... I think I can recall an event that happened. I don't know how many events they had, but yeah, it's pretty sudden. Like, hey, the big tournament's right now. Yeah, it's hard to keep up with all of it too.
Yeah, maybe I just don't follow the right channels because Rock Bogart says he followed it pretty closely. So maybe it's my ignorance, which is totally viable.
Maybe that is part of the commentary though, is that if you're in the community and you're like locked into the people who are like distributing information, then maybe the information is accessible. But how are they reaching out to, you know, a bigger audience is maybe the key there.
I think the only reason I knew this was happening this weekend was because of Raph. Raph, the commentator here from Texas, Raph TX, if you will, was a commentator for the finals, and he posted about it. And I was like, there's a tour, and there's a finals happening? So it was pretty cool. But all of this new information afterwards was pretty, pretty nice. And giving... I'm both a big fan of seeing players get their hands on and give their thoughts about where the game's currently at. And I'm also not a big fan because I'm not there. Damn it. I honestly would have no idea how to play the game anyway, so I wouldn't be.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. It's only 4 buttons, right? But a lot of fighting games that have came out recently, I'm like, I'll just wait for a week. And then if nobody's playing it, then I'll decide from there. I'm going to play this game. I'm going to buy it day one.
Oh,
looks like my kind of game.
Yeah, Rock Bogart in the chat. Rock Bogart, I'm going to defer to you for Garo stuff because your name is Rock Bogart and you know what you're talking about. It's playable at Evo Japan. I had no idea.
Very sick.
I had no idea. There's apparently also modern controls according to Later Dragon. So I don't think that's a big deal. Yeah, hey, more controls, more better, right? We were just talking about Broly Legs, man, and disabilities in playing. I saw Tokimeki Emily, who is a cosplayer and somebody who is in the FGC, has a disability, and she's been sharing that she has been able to really grind Street Fighter for the first time because of modern controls. So stuff like that is really, really cool because it gives people the opportunity to play that either wouldn't have otherwise, or it gives people the opportunity to enjoy the game that they wouldn't otherwise, right? So it's nice to have the option. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else about Garo that we know? I know there's like a bunch of videos floating around the internet. I saw Max had a video on it where he discussed some of it. Justin Wong has his video, which I'm going to watch after the show. Damn. I just wish we could keep watching it right now.
I'm looking forward to it, but my boomer brain is usually like, hold on, just wait. All these games, they come out a little silly, but I'm interested.
So what's your history with Garo? Like, have you grinded it at all in the past?
I have friends who were pretty good at Garo back in the day. I have some friends who, like, one of my friends, his name is Cage Strike. He actually beat Justin Wong in KOF in one of those back when Justin Wong won every tournament. Mm. He actually beat him in a KOF game. And they were some of the best players in the U.S. at Neo Geo Battle Coliseum. Oh. So although I was kind of like off to the side, I wasn't one of them. I was just playing Third Strike. That was it. But I got to see players who were good at SNK games. And it's really exciting when those, like, the crowd gets really into it. It's really sick.
I always love going to Evo. There's a commentator whose name I don't know, but he has such a thick Spanish accent and he always wears a lucha mask. I wish I knew his name. But it's so crazy to hear him do commentary because, like, he's I think, like, the epitome of what I hope the FGC remains in the future, where he's just like, I don't give a fuck about mic quality. I'm just going to yell because I'm excited. Look at all this crazy shit happening.
I think KOF gaming has so much potential as far as how much the community, if they are in love with that game, they are ride or die with it. Like, there's still people on Fightcade right now playing KOF 98 2002. Like, only Third Strike is above them. Like, they love what they do.
Yeah. Oh, Colt, according to Rock Bogart. I genuinely, I have no idea if that's correct or not, but I'll take Rock Bogart.
Rock Bogart is our SNK correspondent.
in the future, we'll have him join the call, like do like some on-site on location recording or reporting. No, and you know what's funny? So in Austin, I met somebody who went by the name of Don. That's his like handle, and he was a huge KOF 13 player, and then like was getting top eights in KOF 14, and to my knowledge, still plays KOF 15, but he unfortunately moved away. So he showed me a little bit of the intricacy of KOF 14 and how like people used. I don't know if this was in any other KOF game, but in KOF 14, people would hit light kick, like crouching light kick, to low profile jump ins. And like me with Street Fighter brain, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna anti-air. And then I would always get shit on. And then he was like, oh, no, you have to low profile it with a crouching light kick, and then you can do a combo to punish their jump in. And it's like,
that's old school. Because you know, you do an uppercut, and those games don't have a shortcut where you can do crouching, you hold crouch and then down forward, mm-hmm. you don't have to stand up. But in a lot of games like those, you have to actually do forward down diagonal. So you had to hit forward, which meant your character stands up. So mm-hmm. you stand up, and you got a short hop in your face. you want to stay as low to the ground as possible.
Yeah, man, Rock Bogart, you're going to teach me, and you too, Automatic, you guys are going to teach me Garo when it comes out. Damn it. Yeah. I've always wanted to like really get into SNK games, but I just have such a hard time. And it sucks. It sucks. It's just my brain just doesn't go with it. But anywho, super exciting. After like the stagnation of like the post Street Fighter 6 release and the post Tekken release, like now it's like, oh, new game, whoa. It's exciting again. Not that things are not exciting.
Die by Sword, 77 months.
Die by Sword is the patron saint of Best of Five. He has gifted over like 200 gift subs at this point, I think.
Googly moogly.
So thank you, Die by Sword. Super happy to see you here. I got to meet him at Evo this year. He has the best mustache I have ever seen in my life. So put some respect on his name. Rock Bogart. Thank you. Now, the Rock Bogart took some time away from the City of Wolves over here to come watch the show. Pretty cool. Thanks, Rock Bogart. No, just kidding. Super awesome to see you. Happy you're here. Thank you. Appreciate the subscription. Now, before we get into all this other stuff, I couldn't figure out where to fit this, and I kind of forgot about it a little bit. But this past weekend, the event that supposedly overshadowed the SNK World Tour Finals, Red Bull Kumite happened. Mm-hmm. And they kind of went a little off the wall in the best way possible. Did you get to see any of it at all?
I did get to see a couple matches. I saw a lot. I feel like I was interested the most in everything outside of the matches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I love stuff that Red Bull does because they are super willing to try new things, right? Super willing to try new things. And there is one thing that kind of irked me about what they did, but it's not about what they did. It's about how the community reacted to it, because it feels like there's a bit of a double standard going on, and we'll get into it. But outside of the matches, this is the kind of stuff that was going on at Red Bull Kumite.
Punk the God.
Knowing their history, it makes it a little funny.
I didn't even think about that.
You came so close. I know it was heartbreaking, but at least you didn't have to lose in grand finals this time. That said, this is one of the main faces of the FGC. This is the best neutral game in the...
Sorry, I wanted to skip. Oh, was that it for the trash talk?
Yeah, he actually didn't go in the cab.
He didn't go in the cab?
If I recall correctly. That was the last match, right?
Before Grand Finals.
I feel like I get another
chance. Was that Punk?
Yeah, dude.
Well, are you in a crowd?
Dude didn't have to do it.
Punk of 5 Donut. Joe.
A five donut punk? Rob, I'm not touching that car to get that thing in the trash immediately.
No, no, no.
So they all had like their own trading cards, and he just went down for it.
Punk, get out of my sight.
So I wish I would have taken a little bit more time to actually clip it out instead of just pulling it up. But what they were doing is they were doing these fun little trash talk segments for the losers, where they would have Rob like do a little talk, and then L.I. Joe, who got the hashtag L.I. jerk over the weekend, which is hilarious because if you know Joe, he's like the nicest human being ever, and he was playing up this character so well. They would talk trash, and then they would put them in a cab driven by Z to go to leave the bracket, which is hilarious. Now, what I wanted to bring out, and this is something that did irk me. Do you remember Capcom Cup, where they interviewed the loser after grand finals, and people were like, oh, why would you interview the loser immediately after they play, exactly, blah, 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 blah. They shit-talked them to their face and then
they
made them leave.
Into it.
Yeah, and what's hilarious is, first of all, I love this shit. This was hilarious. I love the fact that Red Bull is willing to take a chance and try to do stuff like this. But there's such a weird double standard where, like, the thing at Capcom Cup people hated, but this they love.
Because it's agreed upon. I'm sure they briefed them before the tournament what the format was and what the roles of Rob TV and L.I. Jerk were. So it wasn't like it didn't catch anybody by surprise. So I think it was brilliant. I think it was such a smart way to go about it, to not only solve a problem where the players could be, you know, off their game because, you know, they may not be expecting to be interviewed right when they lose, but it also, it's entertaining. It makes it more fun than, you know, somebody's genuinely upset.
Yeah, but is getting interviewed after a match not a like an assumption?
I guess so. I mean, it depends. If it's a grand finals match, perhaps you should expect it. But when you're making a theater play out of it, mm-hmm, then it's not just an assumption, it's a guarantee.
For sure. Yeah, okay, I guess I could see the difference, but I still feel like there's a weird double standard there that
Oh, there is. There is. Yeah. But they found a solution to it.
Yes, 100%. And I think the fact that it was, I feel like that would be a little bit hurtful, but I think since it was like in the spirit of everything, right? Like the spirit of the whole thing where like, get out of here, you lost, kick rocks. Or whatever.
It's also familiar faces. It's not, yes, somebody who just appeared on stage.
Very true. Very true.
And is asking you awkward questions.
Very true. And yeah, and like the fact that you said like because Punk and Rob TV have a little bit of a history, that made it even funnier. So yeah, and it was really cool seeing everybody else, like even like the people who were getting roasted or whatever were playing up to it. Like I think somebody even said Die by Sword said. Where nephew got his name because he was Daigo's nephew, but he became Knuckle Dude's son. Yeah, oh, man. I was trying to find that clip, but I could not find it. I'm so upset. But it was really, really cool. And look, Red Bull has the money. They can throw out like they can throw events like this, and they have been killing it. It feels like every Kumite that they do, they improve on what they had beforehand, and they always try something new, which, in my opinion, is really rare to see nowadays. Like people trying new things and like taking a swing and seeing if it works instead of just, you know, being so scared of trying new things because you're like not sure if it'll be received well or whatever.
I think it's interesting how everything kind of came full circle. There was a moment a long time ago, I don't know if you remember this, but Mike Ross and Twisted Jago back in the Street Fighter Cross Tekken era, they had beef. But they tried to play it off as if it was real, and they just kind of hammed it up and made it more theatrical. I don't quite remember the exact situation, but like one of them stormed off after they lost and pretended to be a lot more saltier than they were. And the fighting game community did not like that. They thought that they were being deceived. And a certain community member who was recently banned for computer parts did a live stream where he talked about how it was fake, and he kind of blew it up. So it was not who didn't like that? Like, this is not real. The fighting game, you know, beef should be, this is what, you know, this is like where we came from, arcades, blah, blah, blah. But I think the big difference is that it's agreed upon. The audience, mm-hmm. the players know that it's a sort of Pathos said, it's like a wrestling, taking on a character for the sake of entertainment. And I think when it's done like that, it's way more relatable, and the gameplay, the game doesn't even matter as much. The entertainment factor is the storyline. And that's why I think that tournament, the Seijam Slam with Tekken, mm-hmm. the team tournament aspect, the player skill was not that, wasn't that relevant. And mm-hmm. that was like, you get lucky if you see two high-level players play. It was dependent on the team. Yeah. But the team, the narrative of the teams was what was interesting about it.
Yeah. No, 100%. That's interesting that... It's interesting you say that, because first of all, that was before my time in the FGC, because I'm an 013er. Mm. But it's really interesting that people were so upset that they were hamming it up. That is not what I would have thought happened there. And...
It's the feeling of being deceived. Like, you thought something was, like, someone just told him Santa Claus is fake. You're like, what do you mean Santa Claus is fake?
Oh.
But it's like, nowadays it's a bit more like AEW wrestling, where it's an agreed upon that we know this is a show. That they're actually getting hurt, but they're not actually getting hurt by The Rock throwing his elbow pad into the crowd slowly. And they're not just, you know, of course it's not a real fight. But it's enjoyable because it's theater. And it's the physicality of it is just the layer on top of it that makes it cool. But if you think it's a real fight, somebody tells you this is not a real fight, you're like, oh, what do you mean?
It's real to me, damn it. That's a deep cut for people who understood that. Also, I just want to show this up. Fucking Rob TV's fit is so good.
He looks like a cartoon character, like in a
1,000%. Like, the fact that his coat, like, goes almost down to, like, his knees is so funny to me. But he
killed it, by
the way. The thing that I think is very important, and this is a lesson I learned when I produced the Arc World Tour Finals last year, which we'll get to. I didn't get the call this year, so spoiler alert, I'm not going to be there this year. But if everybody commits, it can be a beautiful thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you do it half-assed, people are going to know and they're not going to like it. So, something that I learned, I studied comedy. I have a degree in it, not a degree, a diploma. What's really interesting is you ever see one person acting funny and it's like, that's weird and scary. But you see like six people doing the same thing and like fully committing to it and acting funny, it's funny, right? So, like, you know, just imagine like flash mobs in the early 2000s, right? Like just a bunch of people just like completely committing to just ruining everybody else's day. It can be kind of funny. So I think that's the big lesson, is to commit. Go for it. And if it don't work, it don't work. It'll be fine. Everybody will still have all their limbs. We'll be cool. But I think the fear of taking a risk is so strong nowadays because, like, you know, things are expensive and people are being wishy-washy on like how they want to handle stuff. So seeing a production like this where everybody committed and everybody like really like turned the dial up to 12 or whatever, and seeing it be received so well, and seeing like even feeling it, like watching it and mm-hmm. feeling it and like being a part of it.
I see with that DR crowd there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like that's something special, and it's something that we don't get to see every day. So.
Yep.
Big props to Red Bull. Big props to Rob TV, L.I. Joe, Z, all the commentators. I think I saw Persia, Logan Sama, James Chad. Was Justin Wong there? I think Justin Wong was there. Oh, yeah. Justin Wong said in his video, he literally did the SNK, he did the Garo recordings, and then immediately got on a plane to New York. So that guy's grinding, man. That guy's grinding hard. But, yeah, look, more stuff like this, please. However, I don't want to see only stuff like this, right? Only invitationals or only like certain players get to do whatever. And this leads us into our next topic about how Street Fighter League US is awful.
In comparison to Japan, right? That's what you're going for.
No. Look, here's the thing.
This is why you're not a Capcom creator.
Yes. And that's perfectly fine. But here's the thing. I'm criticizing it because I love Capcom. I love Street Fighter, or otherwise I would not be doing this, right? Otherwise I would not have, you know, dedicated whatever portion of my life this is to fighting game stuff.
Yeah.
And it hurts to see something done in a way that I think will hurt everybody in the long term. Here's what I mean. For those of you that don't know, last year, 2022-2023, I worked for a big esports company, right? I got to work on Call of Duty League, I got to work on Overwatch League, I worked on Pokemon Unite, blah, 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 all this other stuff. You see the state that big esports is in right now. Stuff like Counter-Strike, stuff like Call of Duty League, Overwatch League, League of Legends. It's all in the shitter. There's layoffs left and right, people can't make money off of it, and nobody knows why. Street Fighter League Japan cracked the code. And it makes me a little upset that the company that makes Street Fighter League Japan is also the same one that makes Street Fighter League US, but they're on completely different pages, right? Well, it's Capcom, right? Capcom is the one that has the say overall. So my big issue with Street Fighter League US are these. First, there is no clear pipeline to new talent in Street Fighter League US. There used to be, right? There was the whole community vote, and then Capcom kind of fucked that up by screwing Amezi over. And I don't care. Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think about some of the people that were voted in and how they're not so popular anymore. Two members that I could think of who shall remain nameless, I guess. Basically, just me and Tommy were like the cool people.
1,000%.
Well, Amezi is an interesting thing to touch on, but that's a different story.
Yeah, but so for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, let me just go into it. And what's really funny is I had Tommy Two-Step as a guest when we were at Combo Breaker together on this show, and he agrees with me. He agrees with me, where Amezi did get screwed over. But what happened was Street Fighter League Season 2, there was a huge community vote. Where, what was it? It was like four people who got the most votes from the community got to go to Street Fighter League US. Among those that were in the top five were this guy, Tommy Two-Step, who is a good buddy of mine, Sherry Genix, I believe, Amezi, and Arturo. I'll say his name, whatever, I don't care. He's having his beef. There's a bunch of issues with Arturo right now. We're not even going to touch on that because I don't want this show to be like FGC TMZ. You know what I mean? That shit's petty. And outside of
that whole situation's a big frowny face for me personally.
And it sucks. I'm happy it's getting handled, but it sucks. Anyway, those five were in the top five, right? Before players got in, the voting window, as stated by Capcom, ended at a specific hour. I don't remember what hour it was. It closed an hour before the supposed closing hour.
Yes.
So.
Yes, I was on the phone with Born Free when that happened.
Damn, I haven't thought about him in a while. I hope he's doing well. So it closed early, which is a problem. And as of the closure, I don't remember the exact order, but the top four were Sherry Genix, this guy, Tommy Two-Step, and Amezi. Arturo was fifth. Sure enough, comes Street Fighter League US time, and Arturo's there and Amezi is not. That's bizarre. After all that effort to like do a whole community thing, it's almost like losing the popular vote. It's what?
You know what's messed up? What? You know what's really messed up that I never even thought about is who is going to bring a different audience, Arturo or Amezi?
Exactly. And that is like the, man, I remember like that was when like Sleuth Elon was born, because I saw a video of you and Tommy in LA, and then I saw a picture of Arturo on a plane after dyeing his hair, and I was like, wait a minute. Something ain't right here. So, like, they completely screwed him over and they just brought Arturo, right? So, that was an issue then, right? The community voted. Amezi was number four. They said, screw you. You're not a top player. They brought Arturo. That is still, it feels like they're still operating like that to this day. because Street Fighter League
I don't know if that was on purpose, to be honest with you. That could have been a time zone.
Could be. Yeah, absolutely.
Time zone issue with the website. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. I don't know any of the background stuff. All I know is what happened.
What I can agree with fully is things don't feel to go as they planned, mm-hmm. if there is.
Yeah. So, from my perspective, and I'm making a lot of assumptions, sure, but for the sake of this argument, they were like, top player, we'll take him instead. It feels like Street Fighter League US this past season is in that exact same vein, where instead of being open to more fresher faces, if you will, with fresh audiences and a fresh outlook on life, they literally went out of their way to get every other top player from around the world instead of getting local talent in the US. And we just saw the same people we always see do the same things that they always do. And this is no disrespect to the players. This is no disrespect to the production. Because at the end of the day, and I mean, we'll talk about the stream in a little bit. At the end of the day, sure, they have to put on a show or whatever. But what's the point of just watching the same people that we always watch? What's the point of catering to the same 50 to 100 people, right? Because if you're catering to the same 50 to 100 people, the entire audience that you have and the players that are supporting this scene, because at the end of the day, if there weren't 7,000 players at Evo, Street Fighter 6 would not have been as big of a reception, right? If there aren't, like, you know, the Pop Monsters or everybody else traveling to tournaments to participate, everybody that goes 0-2, right? There's all of these people, and we can talk about level of play or whatever as much as we want, but if you're not catering to the actual FGC and are just catering to the top players, it's going to get to a point where things are going to be so top heavy that the community is going to stop supporting it. And that's what we're seeing with all these other big esports, where you have Call of Duty League. Granted, Call of Duty League and Overwatch League, they have their own issues because Blizzard's a clusterfuck. But you have all of these huge esports that are falling by the wayside because the people making the decisions at the top are A, being greedy, and B, are catering just to the top players instead of having a pipeline to have more players feed into this. Street Fighter League Japan does this so well, right? They have Shinobi, and they partner with a lot of the people who make this stuff happen. Shinobism, Momochi's school, I guess. I don't know what else to call it. A bunch of new faces are coming up from that. A new team that got announced this year, Crazy Raccoon, right? Of all the VTubers stuff. Like, there's a new team for that. So all of these schools, they're getting all of these fresh all of this fresh talent, and they're showing off all of these people who are so good but don't necessarily get the limelight. Street Fighter League US, it just feels like the same old thing. I can't talk about Street Fighter League Europe because it was beyond me. I completely missed it. And that's no disrespect to them. That's just me. And on the other thing, it felt like they didn't even cater to the US with Street Fighter League US. Because the broadcast time was so damn late. It was so difficult to watch. So how are we going to be able to enjoy the thing if they're airing it at like midnight? I forget what time they actually aired it. Mm-hmm. But
I have a lot of scrambled thoughts about this.
Yeah. Hit me with it.
We talked about Justin Wong earlier and how he's heavily on the grind, and he used to be a top player and being the best was his priority, but mm-hmm. now making content seems to be his number one priority. So that makes me think, if you can take the route to make content instead of just being good at the game, that is a very good route to take. That makes me think of Street Fighter League. I think the question they have to ask themselves is, what do people want to see? Do they want to see high-level gameplay, or do they want to see, you know, a little bit of a little storyline, some more activities, some kind of different angle? Because I'm thinking more and more that if you're depending on your game, depending on the game being entertaining at a high level, you might, that may not be the thing to bet on. I think you want a little bit more than that to keep your audiences retained. Mm-hmm. I think it's more, especially for me personally, it's more exciting to see somebody have that light bulb go off in the middle of a match where they're mm-hmm. like, wow, I did that and it felt good. I made an improvement and everyone can see it. I think that is a wonderful moment in fighting games. And if it's just only high level play, you're just looking for high level players, I guess. And those are a lot less than the casual audience.
Yeah, and here's the thing. There is a place for the high-level play. There is a place for just focus. Without that. Yeah.
You don't want to get rid of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I believe Capcom Cup is for, right? Like, that's, like, the best of the best. They, all year long, it's not just one tournament or, like, one weekend. It's all year long people have been grinding, and these are the people that came out on top. Now let's see what happens when they play each other. But when you have something like Street Fighter League where you're trying to make content out of it, you're trying to show people that you're trying to, like, introduce people to the FGC, and you're introducing the FGC to people, right?
There's a lot more to it than being good at the game.
Yes. And that is, I think, the absolute thing that Street Fighter League US is missing, that Street Fighter League Japan has. I believe Street Fighter League Europe was also in the vein of Street Fighter League Japan, where they had teams, where they had, like, sponsored teams, and they had slots. And they plugged in a bunch of players, which, from my understanding, don't necessarily get the limelight, right? Like, you had people like Veggie? Yeah, and you had a couple of other people whose names I currently can't recall off the top of my head right now, who were doing the thing, right? And you saw, like, Street Fighter League US, when it ended, like, the team that won, everybody was, like, so, like, ridiculously over the moon about it. And I feel like with taking that away, like, taking the new blood aspect of it and just catering to the top players, like, you're losing out on a lot. I'm going to mention this. You can feel free to not touch on this if you don't want to, Automatic. We see that directly reflected in viewership.
No, you don't. That's all I'll contribute.
Okay, I'll just say it. Street Fighter League Japan, extremely entertaining. You can see the viewership is very high. Street Fighter League US, I don't know if you guys have seen, but there was a huge hunt on Twitch to show channels that are viewbotting. And hey, according to that data, I believe it was 78% of viewers in the Capcom, in the Street Fighter League US viewers, were not real.
I'm about to lose my Capcom Cup creator over.
This isn't your channel. This isn't your channel. This is my channel, and they didn't give me that. So yeah. It's directly reflected. And the fact that they're trying to hide it makes me think it's even more disingenuous. We were talking about it being disingenuous before and how acting, playing it up, blah, blah, blah. That is the kind of shit that is going to ruin Street Fighter League US, if it's not ruined already, right?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because at the end of the day, we want them to win. We're not like cheering for this. We don't want this at all.
Yeah,
1,000%. Like on their side, and nobody wants to. I don't want to talk about it either because I know my friends and important people who are working with them, their bags are getting affected by it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I just think if they look, people are smarter than we give them credit for. We are all smarter than we give ourselves credit for. You can tell, like the Mike Ross thing, when something is being faked or being played up and not what we're expecting. We can tell when something is not going so great. And we can tell when companies are just trying to pull the wool over our eyes. So, doing this and doing this the way that they're doing this is, sure, it's going to give them a little bit of money and a little bit of short-term success. Long-term, it's going to crash just like everything else in esports has been. And it's because people at the top are making some decisions that are very questionable and are not in the interest of the Street Fighter League US, are not in the interest of Capcom, but are in the interest of this.
It reminds me of Helldivers. I know that's very odd comparison, but if you just make a good game, people go play it, and it's going to be great. You just do something that you believe in, and then it's awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And if you don't have something awesome, you have to pay for viewbots. I say this, again, I say this out of love. I love Street Fighter. I say I hate Street Fighter 6, but I played it for like 5 hours a day, which is like way more than I played any other game. The fact that I'm doing this show is, in my mind, proof that I like Street Fighter and proof that I love the FGC and proof that I want all this shit to go well. So the fact that it's the entire production of it, everybody involved with it, is getting hurt by this. Or not getting hurt, but going to get hurt by this when it eventually crashes. And I do not want to see that. So that's why I'm being extremely critical about it. Any final thoughts?
Not really. Sometimes I don't know if it's like yelling at the clouds.
it feels like it, right? Look, I don't have a lot of pull in anything. So who knows if this is going to get hurt. But
sometimes I feel like it's just unlucky. Like maybe they do have a good plan and it could have been successful, but you know, one thing leads to another, maybe it just doesn't work out the way they thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either way, I mean, as long as they can put another quarter in the machine and try it again and maybe they'll get some feedback. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like behind closed doors.
Yeah.
I knew Carolyn. We talked quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, DMs. Because of, like, Laura, when Laura first came out in Street Fighter 5.
Yeah.
And she's a genuinely good, involved person in the FGC. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine why they would let her go or why she left. Some things just don't. But yeah. I know they got good people there. Andrew, I don't know his last name, but he's great.
It's Andy Wong, right? You're talking about the community manager?
Yes. Yeah. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. He's like, he does 100%. All the work on the Capcom fighters. He's a social media guy. He's really cool. But how much pull does he really have, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just a lot of inside baseball. And there's a lot of things that I feel like if they don't, how much of an impact can you have, really?
Yeah. I just don't want to see this fall apart. That's it. I just don't want to see it fall apart because I think this is such a great opportunity for the FGC. I think it's such a great opportunity for Capcom. It's such a great opportunity for us here. And I'm just really worried, man. I'm just really worried. It's
crazy.
It hurts. It hurts. I don't know how else to put it. And the fact that look, Street Fighter League Season 2, I was all in, right? I was all in. I was watching that stuff. I watched the beef between Punk and 801 Strider. That was very funny. I'm sure in person it wasn't as funny, but it was hilarious either way. And seeing that turn into what it is today. And again, this is nothing. Like, this is not about the players. This is not about the commentators. This is not about the production. It's about the people making the decisions. Right? And honestly, it feels like that's kind of the big problem everywhere. The people making the decisions are just so focused on that short-term gain and fuck everybody else. So, but all we have are the things that are happening. I don't know what's actually happening at Capcom. All we have are the facts. And these are what I believe are the facts, is that around 70% of the viewers don't actually exist. There's not a clear pipeline of fresh faces to show up for Street Fighter League, and we're just kind of getting like the same old, which, look, if you're into the high level gameplay, and if you want to see really who's the best of the best, great. You're not going to get a lot of people that are super into that. Or you're going to get a couple people who are super into that, but the general audience is not going to, it's going to get dry. It's going to get stale. And it's not the game, it's not the players, it's just seeing the same thing happen over and over again, right? So, like, there's only so many times that I could see, like, Angry Bird and Mena play before it gets less exciting, right? And not to say that the way they play is not exciting, because I shat my pants at Evo this year watching them play. Like, that shit was crazy. But I can only watch that so many times, you know what I mean? Like, and you were just saying at Red Bull, like, watching somebody like Broski fight Mena was crazy. Or Sejam's Tekken thing, like watching all of these people who don't normally play Tekken start playing Tekken in a tournament setting and like seeing how they adapt and seeing all this cool stuff. That is the shit that we need to start showcasing. And if we just showcase our top players as good as they are and as much as they deserve the accolades for being top players, we can't have just that. We cannot have just that. We need to find that balance of Radical Kumite's Sejam Tekken Slam three-pointer slam dunk. I don't know what it was called. So we just need to find that balance. And right now, it doesn't feel like there is a balance at all. And it just hurts to see, is all I'm saying.
My prediction is, as the game gets better, everything else will kind of fall in place. After the season one vibes are over.
From your lips to Lord Umbasa's ears.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, holy shit, we went, like, we're not even halfway through the show and it's already like 7:40. Okay, let's wrap this up. We'll skip the age of blocking equals bad. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that at another time because that's an evergreen topic. And that's just how I feel about fighting games and where they are today. Quickly, for those of you that did not see in our Discord, ARK World Tour Finals are happening starting, I believe, on Thursday. We are an official co-stream, so I'll be streaming the tournament.
Nice.
It's going to be pretty fun. If you go to our Discord right now in the general chat, there is a link to a Google form where you can predict the top three of each of the three tournaments. And if you get the highest amount of points, I will buy you a pizza. So it's the next iteration of the pizza bets are here. So go to our Discord right now. You can type exclamation point Discord in our chat. You can go in there. There's a link to the Google form. You can fill that out. That will close as soon as the tournament goes live, I believe on Thursday. I just wanted to go over a couple of the players that are here. First, since you're a big fan of Uni 2, let's take a look at the Uni 2 players. Where'd they go? There they are. So we have Mario, Zando, who we're going to see a lot. Prem, CG, Knots, Razo, who I'm a big fan of. Snappy, three. GC, Yoshi, 13. Shuabu, Banjo, and Blue. Blue's one of our producers, by the way. He runs the AFGC Twitter channel, and he got invited to cover the show as press. So he's both doing press and playing Uni 2. That's kind of crazy. So shout-outs to Blue. Shout-outs to Blue. Next, let's take a look at Grand Blue versus Grand Blue Fantasy versus Rising. Let's go ahead and zoom in. We have Taco, Zerom, Sonic-san, Fukunaga, Fitizen, and Zippy. So those are the players that we'll be battling out there. And last but not least, the Strive Finals. These are all the qualified players. And of course, I think with the exception of Uni 2, these games have last chance qualifiers, so there's still all of that to go. But for the qualified players already for the ARK World Tour Finals for Strive are Leo, Leffen, Tempest NYC, Peppery Splash, Zondo, Jonathan Tenney, Daruino, who I'm really happy to see there, Umisho, who I'm a big fan of, Slash, Gobo, the GOAT, Varix, Tiger Pop, Turara, and Nubenheimer. So, pretty exciting to see. And this is a very different cast from last year. We don't see Mochi anywhere. We don't see Leffen is new in there. So I think the only people that are repeats are Gobo, Zondo, Nubenheimer, Tempest, and Umisho, if I'm not mistaken. I could be completely wrong about that, but if I'm remembering correctly, that's where we're at. So, that is the quick and dirty of it. I didn't realize how late it was. It's family time over there for Automatic, so I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to hold you over. Let's go ahead and get out of here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, condolences to Broly Legs. Hello to mom and child. I don't know names, I'm sorry, but tell them I said hello. That's going to be it for us today. Stick around, we're going to raid Ultra Chen, because I think James Chen is doing his show right now, so we're going to go say hi to him. And that's it. Any final words before we go?
No. Good games. Thanks for having me as usual. Good news. Nice AI music.
All right. I'll catch you guys next week. Again, we'll be here. We'll be here during the week with the co-stream for ARK World Tour Finals. We'll catch you guys then. Until then.